Om Shanti. So day before, when we were in Pandavabhavan, it's been a while since I've been in Pandavabhavan. First of all, I arrived in India at the end of September and spent all the time in Shantivan, and I just came up a few days ago and I'm in Gyan Sarovar. So going over to Pandavabhavan to meet Dadi was the first time I'd been in Pandavabhavan since the last time I was in India. And I was enjoying the beauty of the Diwali celebration. But then I was looking back at the hall and also the smallness of the stage. And I was just remembering, we used to meet Bab Dada in that hall. How many were around when Baba used to come in Pandavabhavan? How many had that experience? So I was just seeing, my gosh, we used to sit right there and Baba was right there. And we used to think it was a very big hall. We used to think it was such a huge hall. And now it looks so small and family-like, and even this is, we have to work hard to create that family feeling with the chairs so regimented. But anyway, it's just to say that from here, it's a very nice feeling to see all of you. I just sat with the family from Vietnam, and that was also wonderful. Wonderful, you know, how Baba is finding his children, breaking through whatever. The sister Sen, who was translating, she was explaining what walls they have to break through to be able to come back into attunement with this Gyan. But they're breaking those walls. Slowly, slowly, those who've been raised in the Vietnamese culture are coming out of that and recognizing and coming close and then becoming Baba's true children. So it's just a wonder. It's just a wonder. So today's topic is speeding up my efforts. And you must be here because you would really like to speed up your efforts. We are tired of efforts that don't seem to work, right? So is the title speeding up our efforts or is it improving our efforts? I still think speeding up is right because we're making very good efforts. We are making very good efforts. I don't think there are many Brahmins who would be mistaken in the way to make an effort. But there are things we can do to our efforts. There are frameworks that we can put our efforts in, which will make our efforts more effective. In other words, we'll reach the results sooner rather than later. That's what speed of effort is about. And of course, Baba's made it very clear that your basic component is removing waste. As if he's telling us originally, your recognition of truth, your love for truth and the power of truth would move you so fast to becoming true. But all this waste going on slows down the process. He has told us that. So how to really effectively manage this waste? So anybody have an idea? I thought of six major factors which could serve our efforts in this way. Primary factor in being able to speed up the efforts. Paying attention. It's the definition Baba gives to efforts. He doesn't want us to make efforts anymore. He just wants us to pay attention. Oh, that's nice. They all move. Yes, anyone else? Introversion. So useful. So useful. Anyone else?
Bhavdada.
Yes, and that's never going to be a wrong answer. But the thing is, bringing Baba in to my efforts also sometimes seems to be so elusive, so slippery. Like, where is he when I need him, and how long does it take me before I can get back to him and tune into his help? Be economic. Yeah, that means especially, you know, think the thoughts that I need to think. Don't get into all these other things. To be in Madhuban. That's also good, but we can't stay in Madhuban. Just stay in Madhuban. I must tell you, one time, it was during one of the last wars in Israel. Recently we had a big one, but this was maybe about 3 years ago, and things were looking very, very terrible, the way war always makes things look. And I wasn't in Madhuban at the time that a group of six sisters were in Madhuban, and they went to Dari Gulzar, and Dari, they told Dari, you know, this and this and that in Israel, and like, what should we do? And Dari Gulzar just listened and listened with such a face, and she literally said, Dari Gulzar, why don't all of you just come and live here? I don't think Baba would agree with that, actually. Yeah, because we have to go back to our service places, and then if we haven't taken something from Madhuban, then... Anyone else? Okay. So, we'll share my six with you. The first one, which I feel is actually, the first two I think are most effective, most important. And I don't think they'll be new to you, but maybe the way we put them together and the way we also explore them, that could bring some newness. First one is to keep my aim in front of me. This is very important. If I look back at some of my most challenging periods in my Brahman journey, if I look at what pulled me out of the anger or the resentment or the negative feelings, I see that again and again, it's this larger picture of it all. In particular, what am I here for, after all? What is my aim? And together with that, what is my mission? Two very important pieces of what we could call the larger picture of it all. Because, you know, in a flash, our karmic accounts, drama, pulls us into the smaller picture. We get caught up in the scenes of the drama. So, to have it very clear in my awareness, what is my aim? Here I mean my personal aim. It could change every week. It could be something as large as, I want to become pure. I want to become pure. Or something as large as, I want to be happy, real happiness, not the kind that goes up and down here today, gone tomorrow, but from the inside out. Or it could be something smaller, like in order to build towards purity or build towards happiness, I want to be more accepting. I want to be more allowing. That could be a weekly aim, feeding into a monthly or a yearly aim or my lifetime's aim. I want to be a deity. I want to be a true human. And then what is my mission? Someone walking around with an aim like this, getting up every morning at 4 to empower that, coming to class every day at 6 also to empower it and make it practical. Definitely there's a reason that they've defined for themselves such an aim. What is your mission? Why are you doing all this? I remember Jagdish Bhai, in terms of making sure I'm connecting to the larger picture at all times, he once said, actually your efforts will always remain very slack, means lazy, unless and until you really keep destruction in front of you. More than that, not just keep it in front of you, he said spend time with the concept. See it. Think about it. Experience it. This will also help you stay connected to the unlimited versus the limited. Because, talking about the unlimited, right? Actually, it's the end. The end of all these little scenes that keep trapping us, confusing us, throwing dust in our eyes, including our third eye. It's the end. So, do I really want to derail myself with all these details, scenes? And God has a plan. This is the truth. This is the unlimited truth. The largest picture. God has a plan. Whilst the whole world is going downhill, and there's so much negativity all around, fires all around, He's got a handful of His people moving around on the planet. They look like humans, but they're not humans. This is His plan. And they're in training, and at the right moment, especially when they finish their training, they're going to step onto the stage of the world and save everyone. Save everyone means they're going to open the gates. In the sense that they will be totally unaffected by the fires, totally unaffected by the violence. They won't know fear. They'll stand there. Absolute conduits of God's light and love. And through them, these are the angels, this is the memorial of angels, which all religions have, through them, the whole of humanity will again have faith that light, love, God exist. And because of that newfound faith, they'll leave their bodies and all go home. So God has a plan. He's got His instruments. And surprise, surprise, I am one of those instruments. We are those instruments. We look human, but we're not human. We're walking on this planet. We're in the drama, but we are absolutely not of the drama. Not at this point. We've died. So, what is my mission? What is my aim? This will definitely speed up our efforts. So before I go any further, let's take 3 minutes to stamp this for ourselves. What is my aim at this point in my Brahman life? And what is my mission? Take a few minutes. Do you think it'll help you to keep clarifying your aim and use that as a tool to keep pulling yourself forward? Yeah, it can help. What is my aim and what is my mission? Because essentially, in terms of our mission, if we want to speed up our efforts, we're going to have to open ourselves to new ways of helping people. For many Brahmins, I think the mission, even before becoming a BK, would have been to serve. Serve humanity, serve our communities, serve our countries. But after becoming a Brahmin, if we want our efforts to be fast, we're going to need to learn a new way of helping, new way of serving. What I'm talking about is just like in the blessing this morning. If I'm to be a world server, then it's not going to be about how much I can understand another person's pain and find the words to bring them comfort and have a method or a formula which can take them out of it and hopefully keep them out of it. Because all of us would have done that. We would have gone that route. At this point in time, how long are we going to be able to continue helping like that? One by one, or even groups of 100 or 200, a class, a lecture. Words, 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 listening, listening, more words, more words. We don't have time for that anymore. Not to mention the fact that our help now has to reach all four corners of the planet. So the help now has to be like God's help. In other words, totally unlimited. Totally subtle, as he was saying this morning. Attitude. Who was saying this? I think it was Charlie who was saying, or maybe Anthony, the biggest act of compassion is to change yourself. Interesting, huh? Because as Baba says, the atmosphere is created by my attitude. And I can have such a nice vocabulary and I can have such nice words and such good behavior, but inside me could be something so painful, at the least. And so, despite the nice words and even good behavior, the atmosphere isn't changing, and he needs a pure atmosphere. So to imagine that my help has to become so much more unlimited, so much more subtle. And with this focus, see what happens to my efforts. It's not necessarily easy. I was recently talking with somebody who was saying he can't just sit by while somebody is in pain and there are the tears. Of course, we want to help and we want to speak and we should. But 5 minutes, 10 minutes, not an hour and 10 minutes, and not again and again and again, because it's the end of the cycle. And it changes everything. Do you know this analogy? I heard it so long ago, but it comes to my mind now. If you're in a train on vacation, one of these train rides, which are a holiday in themselves, how would you help the people around you who are also just like you on a holiday train ride? You would get the older people a sandwich if you're going to the sandwich car yourself. Maybe you'd pick up an extra blanket or pillow for somebody if you're going in that direction. That's how you'd help. But whilst the train is moving along, if you happen to look out the window and see that actually the train is derailing, you see it before everyone starts feeling it somehow, what would be the nature of your help at that point? Would you still be interested in getting them a sandwich or a pillow? You'd start breaking windows and grabbing bodies and throwing bodies out the window. Right? So we are at the end, and the way we are going to help people has to change. A lot of waste comes, I feel, in what we do in the name of trying to help others. A lot of waste. Big door to get caught and trapped in the drama. To be able to hold someone within the same vision that God holds them, this is tremendous help. Daddy looks at us this way. She looks at us with a vision of faith. She knows that we're going to make it. And that's why we feel so good when we're in front of Daddy. This isn't just help, it's power. As if really this is what we need. Not just others, but our own selves. We've totally understood the difference between right and wrong. If we're not changing, it's because we don't have the power to do what's right. So for me to be taking that power, but then also to be donating that power, this is a completely different kind of effort. And so what comes up in this concept? Because so far I've mentioned two frameworks, pieces of the larger picture, as a way of speeding up our efforts. But both of these require something, which is honesty. Baba speaks a lot about that too. This quality emerges when we understand the new and real and only way to be helping at this point. Because if it's my pure feelings which donate power to another, my best wishes, then I have to start getting very, very honest about where I stand in that journey towards having only the purest of feelings, not just towards others, but also towards myself. this is such a journey, and it's so unlimited, so subtle. How much did we think we knew what honesty meant? 30 years ago, I was pretty sure I understood it. 20 years ago, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, even today as I'm sitting in front of you, I'm learning new layers of what it means to be honest. Obviously, it means I'm not going to be blaming anyone for anything anymore. No matter how wrong they are, it doesn't matter, does it? Right? I can't blame, I can't accuse. This is Raja Yoga, the yoga of self-sovereignty. I'm being schooled to be independent from whatever else is going on around me. So this isn't a person doing something horrible or doing something horrible to me. This is a karmic account. This is an opportunity for growth. And I have to practice, work, nurture my inner beauty and truth in this very moment, that otherwise I would be feeling attacked or wronged. But honesty also means I wouldn't even be opposing, complaining, criticizing. You know, if we're really honest, we have to check even that. The other day I was saying something to Sister Mira, and from her response, I suddenly realized it probably sounded like I was complaining. I didn't even mean to be complaining, but suddenly listening to her response, I realized actually that was a complaint. Only honesty can catch this and help us to make that switch. Come over to the other side means go from the small picture into the larger picture and get our effort accurate. Even to oppose. So much of our energy could still be, I don't agree. The energy of, this isn't right. I don't agree. What's going on here? I don't know if I've shared this before, but I had this realization at one point that, you know, to stand in a position of opposition against anything going on in the drama basically means what? Because Baba has told us the drama is perfect. So if the drama's perfect, and yet somehow I still give myself permission to stand in opposition to some scene in the drama, basically that means that I am opposing perfection. Doesn't make sense. Wrong use of my energy, wrong use of my time. Much better to align myself with what he says is in every single scene, and that is the benefit. So this also speeds up our efforts. Not to lose it, as he says, in figuring out why, in trying to fix it or another, versus elevating myself. Every one of these opposing situations, difficult, challenging situations, we know this, it's our chance to stretch ourselves. Last chances. So, such honesty is needed. Because if I were to work with the truth in the moment, and here's where efforts, you know, there's an expression in English, it's here's where the tire hits the road. In other words, you can really start moving instead of just spinning your wheels. Baba has told us, surrender, renounce, and distaste. Have distaste. That's where my effort has to go. Every moment is a test to these three things. And I love this definition that Charlie gave to these three words. Two of the three, it was a new definition for me. And I found them to be extremely practical in terms of efforts which are right on and which are going to move us fast. Surrender is of this I and mine. Specifically, in the way that honesty is so subtle and so deep, so is this surrendering of I and mine. If we're honest, somebody could walk into the room and we could say, we could have these feelings of dislike. There could even be good reason to dislike this person. But to surrender the I means, who's this I that's saying, I don't like this person? Or I don't like people who act like that. Or you have these feelings of dislike and then you justify it by saying, but she does this, he does this. I don't like it. Or even before the thought, you're moving away from the person. This I has to be surrendered. It's how does Baba see this person? That's how I'm going to see this person. Everything else, surrendered. And renounce. Charlie, you know what we have to renounce according to this class Charlie was giving so long ago? It's very, very tangible entry point into the concept of renunciation. You know what we have to renounce? The vices. That's common. What vice in particular, and what is the practical experience of that vice? This is something different. So, I like to... Desires, yes, they have to be renounced. So, it all comes together on these more subtle levels. But Charlie was saying, we have to renounce the things that gave us value before Gyan. We have to renounce the things that I was using to give myself value. If you really think about it, that's what gives birth to the vices and also all desires. If you think about it on the deepest level. And then, of course, distaste for whatever it is the world can offer me in terms of keeping me in well-being. I'm happy to say even chocolate and ice cream doesn't do it for me anymore. So we are actually going to reach that point. We've got to have that true happiness, that true love, that clean new energy that comes from being with Him. And actually, this is another aspect, I think, of speeding up our efforts. You follow me so far, right? We've got to work with new frameworks. We have to connect more and more and deepen our relationship to the larger picture. Honesty is required in this. And I would also say, we have to make new friends. You know what I mean by that? We have to make our brain a friend. We have to make our stomach a friend. this matter, this body works so hard for me. And I could just be putting anything into this body just according to the desires of a piece of matter that isn't even 2 inches long, the tongue. And so then the brain is not working right, even though it wants to. Stomach, all other parts of the body are affected by what's going on in the stomach. In fact, they actually call the gut the second brain. And at this point, they're even wondering if it shouldn't be called the first brain. Because what goes into the stomach and how we digest is so connected to how the brain functions. Brain fog, memory issues, all these things are unbelievably connected to what we're eating. We need to bring new energy into the brain. Baba's new energy, pure energy. This is why the whole Murli was on the importance of yoga. Keep your chart of remembrance. How do we do that? How do we increase our chart of remembrance? What is this thing called remembrance? My experience these days is really, Baba is the most beautiful being that exists. He's so beautiful. Just to spend time getting to know Baba. Just a quality that you would love to have yourself, or maybe you're not thinking about it in terms of your own self, but you're just exploring him and you're giving time to discovering him. Baba is so unlimited, so unlimited. It's not just because he's not in a body that he doesn't get trapped in the small scenes. We, the family of humanity, are his children, and he's seeing what's going on. There's so much violence, so much suffering in his name, in the name of religion. But he doesn't get caught in that. He doesn't get trapped in that. He never, ever loses his faith, his heart. He's always very excited, very enthusiastic about the mission. 100% confident that he's going to win. Heaven on earth will be established. How? Why? He's so unlimited. The knowledge. He's got the knowledge down pat, and he uses it. He is it at every second. So that unlimitedness, do you know that if I just spend 3 minutes or 5 minutes admiring Baba in this particular quality, his unlimitedness, that's going to color me. In the whole next hour, I'm going to be naturally more unlimited. Any quality, you can do this. I was sharing recently with a group from Vietnam. I'm just washing my clothes in the early morning, doing the laundry, and then just walking to class. Where's my mind? What am I thinking of? There could be so many things from the scenes of the drama I'm thinking about, ordinary things, not to mention even negative things. Why? Why not instead put my mind in the one place where it can be nourished, grow strong, become happy, be with Baba. He's so, just choose a quality. You imagine how patient he is, how accepting he is, how allowing he is. So allowing, so respectful. So just to be with him in that way, enjoying him. This is remembrance. And I can tell you there's a very easy way to know if your remembrance is increasing or not. Very easy way. We know that when there are no challenging situations, and we're actually remembering Baba, and it feels so easy, and we've got the right kind of happiness, we're in the larger picture, and things are going, I mean, there's nothing really horrible around you happening, and you've been good, and that's easy. That's easy. You're stable. You're good. But to hold on to that kind of stability, to hold on to goodness, to hold on to happiness, even when everything around you starts breaking down. Somebody's really started doing something wrong. Some situations come up and it's really bad. To absolutely stay free of it. Okay. Strong. With heart. No loss of enthusiasm. This is a direct measure, I feel, of how much remembrance you've stocked, you've gathered, and is there for you as your power. Last night I was thinking about today, before going to bed, of all times to be thinking about the next day. But somehow that's what I was doing, because tomorrow I'm going to Hyderabad. And so suddenly today has become a very full day, so full, and there were so many things to do. So at night before going to bed, I was thinking about that and getting so stressed. And then I realized, what am I doing? This is just before going to bed, and I'm thinking about tomorrow, and I'm getting myself all stressed? What am I doing? So I just took my mind. We have somebody in our life who is so so beautiful, so incredibly beautiful. Why don't I just put my mind there in him, with him? So I did that. Look at all that's going on in the world. Baba is never stressed, never stressed. So just to enjoy that there's such a being in the universe like that. Discover his power to stay absolutely unstressed. Just like that. Till this moment, I'm completely free of stress. And everything's getting done in a very light and easy way. No pills, no self-talk, no points of gyan. Just yoga, just remembrance, just being with him. So much change can happen that way. I would say it's unbelievable, except, you know, the results are there. We become just like him. So courage is also needed, right? The courage to be different. Different from how you were last month or last year. Courage to lose one kind of appearance and appear differently. Courage to go for a change which might be higher than you can imagine you could achieve. And see, you achieve it anyway. Because we know the formula. One step of that kind of courage, and again, he's into my life. I can't think of any other way that efforts become fast, they're speeded up, and the results we want we get, then figuring out new ways to bring Baba into my life and bringing him. Don't do anything else with the mind. Why? So those were some of the thoughts I had about speeding up effort. If anybody would like to share anything or ask a question, most welcome. And a major key word, I feel, especially as we go further into our journey, deeper into the journey, is, you know, the word subtle. You know, everything has to be heading more and more in the direction of becoming subtle. My efforts have to become more and more subtle. We have reached our destination of truth. The other day he called truth a destination, and he said, you have found your destination of truth. Do I believe this? Do I have faith in this? This is very subtle level of faith. But put the efforts there. Increase my faith in things like this, and just see how everything else will start coming together. Brother, you had something you wanted to say? Come, and there's a microphone there. Maybe you can give your introduction, your name, and what country you're from.
So my name is Francis, I'm from Brazil. So for me, the effort is more related to put more quality. So in terms of the yoga, in terms of pay attention. So instead of, I realized several situations here in Madhubha. So many times I'm sitting to connect with Baba, but I'm not going back to the basis and realizing myself as a soul. So for me, the effort is more pay attention, must be natural, because Baba said, I don't remember the word in English, but you should be carefree, right? So if you are spending too much energy, the perception that I have is that, oh, that's not the right way. So for me, it's the effort, there is a strong connection with put more quality.
Yeah. I think the word quality sums up very nicely many of the aspects we were talking about. To go from gross to subtle, limited to unlimited, this definitely is spiritual quality, added spiritual quality. Anyone else? Yes.
I'm Shwetank from US. I just wanted to share that what you said was so inspiring, that we look like humans, but we are not humans. I think that was so inspiring. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Yeah. In terms of my mission, our mission, do we understand who we are? Talk about going back to the basics. Because I'm not just a soul, that's a wonder in itself, but I am a Brahman soul. That's a handful. And they are not humans, or we could say they are true humans. My favorite analogy, I hope you're not tired of it if you've heard my classes before, but I mean really, you know the legend of Superman, right? The legend of Superman. During the day, Superman masquerades as Clark Kent, the name of a man who works as a journalist at a newspaper company. So during the day, he's Clark Kent. And at the first sign of, you know, conflict, violence, terror, injustice, he goes into a telephone booth, of all things, a red telephone booth, get it? And he turns around. Do you get that? He spins the cycle. He turns three times. That's the legend. And he emerges, you know, with a cape, and he's flying to defend truth, justice, and the pursuit of happiness. Now, Clark Kent is just the masquerade. So this Superman can be moving around and present in order to defend truth, justice, and the pursuit of happiness. So what would happen if this Clark Kent forgot that he isn't really Clark Kent, that he's really Superman, and Clark Kent is just the disguise? Can you think about that? Can you think about what would be his personality? oh, you know, this colleague at work is always saying this about me, and then I'm not recognized, and you know, this was very insulting. The whole human persona would be created. This is what's happened to us. We are Clark Kents who have forgotten that we are Clark Kent. Who have forgotten that we are not Clark Kent. We've forgotten that we are Superman. We really have to move with this awareness. The whole world is waiting for this. The whole world is waiting for this small handful of people to spin that cycle, take that faith, step onto the stage and fly. The whole world is waiting for this, do you imagine? Anything else before we finish up with a lovely song and a beautiful meditation? No? That's it? One more, yes.
I'm Sister Kanishtha from US. I really like the idea that you gave to intensify our efforts of admiring the quality of Baba. I feel if I pick up one quality each day and think about it and keep Baba in front of me, I will very soon become like him.
It's so
thank
true.
You very much for that.
Can you believe that it can be that easy? We're colored by the negative characteristics of people so quickly. So why should I just make this effort to enjoy him, in admire and be with those qualities and let myself be colored? It's amazing. Okay, so we're going to finish with some meditation, and in that meditation we're going to send that powerful thought. This song says you can relax. It's God talking to us in this song. Now you can relax.
You can relax now. Come on and over. Child of God.